Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday morning.
Well done, Elijah.
Yeah.
That was good.
By the way, Shane tweeted. Did he tweet at you?
No, I think he just sent it to you.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's what he said on the text line.
Wow. Okay. Hello.
We didn't get that here.
We didn't get that here. All right, let's bring in Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com. We're 8 days away from the NFL draft, and he is on the line with us to celebrate and talk about Mookie Betts' catch. That was fantastic. Jim, what's going on?
I'm doing great. It's a great catch. Yeah, they ended up getting hit by a pitch the other night, and hopefully he's going to be okay after that. So that was a scary moment, but made a great catch. I was very happy with the results of that series. And certainly the start of this season. So we'll see how it goes. But getting geared up for the draft, appreciate you guys having me on. Left side of my face a little bit numb, so if you have a little trouble hearing me or understanding me, that's the reason.
Dentist office visit?
It's the reward for not wearing sunscreen as a child.
Oh.
I had a little procedure this morning, but I'm hanging in there.
Oh, well, I did not know that. Well, please hang in there. I hope everything's all right.
I'll probably sound better than I look.
And by the way, thanks for the PSA. I need to listen to that. I need to do a better job. Sunscreen. Protect yourself.
Yep. Yeah, especially for us Irish guys.
Yes, who don't tan. So what's your gut feel? I mean, this is so interesting, and you've been a part of this process for so long, and I kind of chuckle. I'm sure you chuckle, when you get to this stage of the draft, and if anything is said, everybody's waiting to pounce. The Trevor Lawrence interview comes out from Sports Illustrated, and it's just Trey Lance. It's just one turn. Justin Fields. It's like this is where everybody gets picked apart, right? This is where everybody's looking for something, and this is where teams, are playing a little stratego, right? They're playing a little battleship. They're trying to put stuff out there. They're trying to maneuver. They're trying to trick people. Everybody's trying to position themselves. This is a fun year. I would love to be behind the scenes and to see how all this works, because I bet a lot of it is just comical and some of the tricks of the trade that go on leading up to this time of year right before the draft.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's so many smoke screens going out and getting teams to try to jump and trying to lead people astray just so you can put yourself in a better spot. And, reality is, we're a little more than a week away, from the draft. If you're picking 22 like the Titans, you ask the general manager who he's picking right now, and he can't even tell you, just because you just don't know what's going to happen. Picks 1 to 21. You hear so many people get asked what you think the Titans will do, or what you think the Raiders will do, or what you think the 49ers will do, or the Giants will do, and that the answer is the case, for all of them. And they've got certain players in mind that they like, but there's a scenario where you move up, you move back, you stick and pick, you have a group of players that you like, and if could pick one of those if somebody falls to you. There's just so many unknowns leading up to the draft, and then there will be some curveballs. I mean, teams that have been kind of in love with the player for the last couple of weeks, and then they'll jump up and get that guy, and it'll just throw the whole throw all those mock drafts right in the trash. So it's just hard to say what's going to happen. I think the Titans are in a position, because of what's happened in free agency, where they could go in a number of different directions. But even then, it's just so hard to predict.
Yeah, it's hard when you're in their position, right? When you're in the 20s, it's just a much different game than the game you're talking about. Teams up at the top are doing. They're positioning, they're maneuvering, they're smoke screening. It's like a poker game. Up at the top, everybody's trying to trick everybody, or I'm going to take this person to see if somebody will jump up in front of them and pay a king's ransom. But when you're down in the 20s, I don't know really what the strategy is. I mean, you have your board, but a lot of things have to play out, right? I mean, you just kind of have to have your board, and as the players that you want at that spot, in this case 22, as they get picked in front of you, you cross them off the list, and then you start talking about the guys who are still on your list.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And obviously you'd rather be in this spot than you would be, you know, back when the Titans are picking first or, you know, picking third or picking eighth or, you know, picking in the top 10. I mean, that's a result of a bad season. You know, when you're picking in the 20s, obviously you'll be picking even later than this. Titans picking 29 last year, but picking 22, you know, you're there for a reason. And now, as a result of that, you do have a lot of time to kind of sit back and see what happens and how things unfold in front of you. I mean, I look at the Titans and I look at their needs, and I think receiver, obviously one of them, you know, cornerback, one of them, tight end, one of them. This team still needs help at edge rusher, still needs some more help on the offensive line. I mean, there's so many different positions you could go, and then it just, you know, what order you go in is kind of the mystery here. You know, we got four picks in the top 100. You can certainly get some good players. I think a lot of those positions will be addressed in that top 100, but just which one goes first is really a lot hinges on what happens in front of you.
What did you make of Jadeveon Clowney's comments? I know he's gone, and I know he's in Cleveland now, but I still – we haven't had a chance to talk to you since he spoke to the Cleveland media, and obviously a lot of his comments started circulating out there and gave created a discussion piece in this market, just because a little bit, you know, some of the stuff was head-scratching considering what he was saying and, you know, what he chose to do last offseason and how he chose to do it and coming in at the last minute, and he chose the Titans. So that's how it works when you're a free agent. Well, what did you make of what he said to the Cleveland media?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of silly, to be honest with you. I mean, I dealt with him a couple of times, you know, on those Zoom calls when he was here, and he's one of those guys, you know, seems like he's a little bit of a jokester and tries to have a little fun, and teammates obviously like him, but he's also somebody who is in it to try to get as much money as possible, and that's what happened to him last year. He held out to the very end. He got a good contract, came in, and, you know, he flashed, I guess, when he was here, but he wasn't real. I mean, he didn't do what he was paid to do. And then when he had an injury, you know, he made the decision to go ahead and have the procedure and to just look ahead toward, you know, 2021. So he wasn't a guy who really put himself in a position where he could be throwing shade at his former team, to be honest with you, talking about their win total in Cleveland is more than the win total in Tennessee, because part of the reason the win total in Tennessee wasn't better was because he didn't help. I mean, he played in eight games, didn't have a sack. You know, again, he's got to do what's best for him, but he's opted to have the knee surgery where he could get healthy for this year, and then he joined the Browns team they're on the right track. But, you know, the team he joined last year was coming off an AFC championship game appearance and was one win away from the Super Bowl and ended up losing to the defending champ. So, it just was silly, if you ask me. And it certainly made it for a good sound bite, and sure got a couple of chuckles. I heard that on the Zoom, but I'm sure people that were his teammates here, even as much as, you know, they probably enjoyed being a teammate of his for eight games, they probably didn't appreciate it that much either.
Yeah. How do you think the whole I brought this up yesterday, and I know, you know, there's still plenty of time for this to all play out, but it is kind of an important position, as we've learned. It's when it's good, it's good. When it's not, you know, it's an important position. Who's going to be kicking for this team? who's the kicker?
That's a good question.
Jim, are you up for it?
Are you trying out?
They don't want me to kick. Yeah, it'd be pretty ugly. I tried to decide whether I'm going to go soccer style or just straight ahead, and figuring it out wouldn't be very pretty. I don't know. I mean, the last time, you know, Mike Vrabel was asked about it, you know, he said that they wanted to have some discussions with Stephen Gostkowski, and certainly just because he's not signed yet doesn't mean the door's closed, but I think they're going to evaluate some options. I mean, Tucker McCann is a young guy from Missouri who spent time on the practice squad, ended up getting hurt, and but he still remains on the roster. And then there will be, you know, I have a feeling they will, you know, look at other options as well. I mean, Gostkowski made some big kicks and, you know, had a great game in Minnesota. He kicked some game winners, but then he was all over the place other times. So I think ideally you want a kicker that you can depend on and you can build on for years to come instead of having a guy maybe be a stopgap guy or just do it for a year. I mean, you want to do what you did with Ryan Suckup, where you've got a kicker here for a long time. It's what they did with Rob Aronis. That's what they had here for, you know, with Joe Nedney and, you know, Del Greco before, you know, during the early times of this franchise. So that's the position you want to be in. And I think they're still trying to figure out whether or not that's something they can do this offseason. You know, there's some good kickers out there that I'm sure they're evaluating and will bring in for the competition. But as of, you know, April the 21st, there's really not an answer because there's only kicker on the roster is Tucker McCain right now.
We're talking to Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com. And, Jimmy, I enjoy the mailbag that you do on TennesseeTitans.com. I enjoy reading through that. Nice Spanish skills this week. That's pretty good.
English to Spanish translator. Google that. That's very helpful. I did take Spanish at Father Ryan under Mr. Hammond. So I can speak a little bit of Spanish, but I get a little help there, you know, from the translator.
Yeah, we all have to
use my cover there.
That's all right. We all have to use that. But, you know, one of the things that I guess is a theme with some Titans fans is they like the moves that were made in the offseason, but they still acknowledge the holes on this roster. But as we talk about the draft, you know, I've kind of used the phrase that I feel like this is a draft that would be really hard to screw up just because how deep it is at a variety of different positions. You know, we know this team needs to address wide receiver. They could probably get two, whether it's in the first, second, third, you know, on down the line, could probably get two that could fill a lot of these needs. So do you feel that way too, that this draft can maybe ease the minds of some Titans fans once John Robinson is done making his selections? I believe right now he sits with 9.
Yeah, I think it could, but you know, you got to pick the right ones. I mean, I think we've saw that last year. I mean, and that's the case across the league. I mean, you've got some good options, but you know, you also, you know, some guys who you look at and some teams look at as, you know, can't miss players or players who can potentially come in and play early. Sometimes those guys don't pan out, or sometimes they get injured, or sometimes you know your evaluation is off. So you know, that's why all this work is going in now, you know, leading up to this process. Yeah, I do look at certain positions that need help and think, okay, if you can get this guy here and get this guy here, then you've solidified that position. But I'm always also, you know, hesitant to count on the rookies right out of the gate. I think certain positions, especially receiver, it takes a while. I mean, what A.J. Brown did was spectacular, and you just don't see that a lot. I mean, all these receivers the Titans have picked over the years early, some of them have never panned out. Some of them, it took them a while to really kind of find their way. So other positions are different. But there's no question you can help yourself in this draft and you can improve your depth in this draft. But I still think no matter what happens, I think you're still going to see another wave of free agency right after the draft to fill certain spots that you didn't get. And I think that's kind of how this roster is going to come together. And then, you know, some of these guys you pick, you're going to have to count on them to play.
Yeah. And also, you know, some guys that are here already. I mean, like at that position, at the receiver position alone, I mean, you got Cam Batson, who has been in the organization for a while. He's had his moments. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, another one. So, you know, what's kind of your thoughts on them being able to take the next step, that even though the position could be addressed in the draft, you know, they're still here and want to make an impact as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. There's some guys that are going to be, you know, given more opportunities this year that they haven't had. I mean, and you mentioned a couple of good ones there. Rashard Davis is another one who's had some time here, and Cody Hollister is another one, and Marcus Johnson's another one, and you know, Chester Rogers, Mason Kinsey, a lot of guys who have kind of hung around, that potentially could rise up. They'll be in the mix. And then I look at other. I look at last year's draft class, and I'm not even talking about the first round pick, but guys like Christian Fulton and Darrington Evans, who really didn't help you much last year. That's like almost getting a whole new draft class in itself, you know, because you're getting an extra year under those guys. Well, the problem with all these rookies is just you know, what we're dealing with in these off seasons now is different than what we've dealt in off seasons in the past. I mean, because of the OTAs and off season programs that are in person. I mean, to hear about the step from year one to year two being so big, you know, all these guys we just mentioned, the young players at receiver and some of the draft picks from last year, they're not getting what players got in previous years to make that big jump from year one to year two. And when they show up in training camp, and they're kind of under the gun. Yeah, you can make improvements in the off-season program virtually, and you can do things on your own, but it's different. So young guys that are being counted on now are being counted on without the same learning that they've been able to do and on-field growth that they've been able to have. And that makes it tough when you're counting on the young guys.
Jim, I've brought this up with a couple of different people this week, so I look forward to getting your opinion. But you know, we know Jayon Brown is back on a one-year deal coming off an injury. A fifth-round pick, you know, he's had a chip on his shoulder and he's done a good job of proving that he is one heck of a player. Rashawn Evans, we'll see what happens with the fifth-year option, but, you know, essentially right now you're thinking this is the last year of his deal. In your mind, with those two playing the same position, knowing that David Long is getting better and better, who has the most to prove and the biggest chip on their shoulder going into this season?
Well, I think Rashawn Evans. I mean, I think we all know that Jayon's a special player, and that, I feel pretty certain at this time last year, or this time next year, I should say, when this season ends, I feel pretty certain that Jayon's the guy that the team will try to keep long-term. And I think Jayon signed a one-year deal to be back here because I think he knows his team believes in him, and I think he knows he has a future here that could be passed this year. With Rashawn, I think I think he does have something to prove. I thought he had a really good 2019 season. I was expecting him to take another step last year, and for one reason or another, it just really didn't happen. And now he does have a fifth-year option coming up. I personally, without talking to anybody, just kind of viewing it based on what I've seen of late, I think I'd be surprised if he got the fifth-year option. And so he's playing for his future moving forward. And, obviously David Long, his growth curve continues to go up. But, again, Evans is a first-round pick. He's a guy that they banked on being a big part of this team's future, and now he's in a year where he's got to kind of prove it. And I think he will. I mean, I think he's a good player. I think he's a tough player. I think he's smart. I think he's all about football. And I think he'll find his footing better this year and kind of prove it.
As we wrap this up, we haven't had a chance to talk to you. Coach Eddie, what do you think about that? Eddie George at TSU taking over that program.
I'm very happy about it. I mean, it's funny. I think back of Eddie. Yeah, I've got a picture of my office with me and Eddie. I'm looking at right now on the practice field. I think it's probably during the 1999 season. I've got my Dodger hat on. I got Eddie's kind of walking side by side. I remember what that conversation was about, but I'm not going to share it. But I look at Eddie then as a young guy. And just him just still kind of starting to find his way in Nashville, and then just to see everything that's kind of happened to him since, how he's become such, you know, he turned into a great pro. You know, he's turned into such a great ambassador for this organization, for the city. He's done so many good things in his life, you know, and been so involved in so many ways. And now for him to get a chance to coach TSU and to make a difference in the lives of so many young men and for a university here that, you know, certainly has produced some really good teams and some good players and has a lot of pride. I'm really happy that he's decided to go down that road and hope he does well. I mean, I was surprised. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't surprised, just because, and the reason is just because he's involved in so many things. I just know what a commitment that's going to be, and he's going to have to invest everything he has in that job, from a recruiting standpoint to a fundraising standpoint to a coaching standpoint to a mentoring standpoint. So, but if there's anybody that can do it, if there's anybody that's great to learn from, it's him. So I'm happy for him. You know, I got to talk to him a little bit last week and just tell him how proud I was of him. And he's just such a good guy, as you all know, and probably one of my favorite guys that's ever come rolling through there. And there have been some great players and great guys that have come through, but Eddie's kind of special in a lot of ways, and I hope he does well.
25 years ago yesterday, he was drafted by this organization. So
wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Really,
he still
is.
Looks
really
the same.
Is. So. Yeah, he looks great. Yeah, he looks tremendous. And so I hope he does well. I mean, I know I remember my dad took me to see TSU play, you know, several times back, you know, back when Coach Merritt was a coach. And, you know, obviously I'm a Vanderbilt fan, but I'm also a Nashvilleian who kind of supports local teams. And I'll definitely be pulling for TSU now and watching them closer since Eddie's got the job.
Thanks for the visit, as always. Hope everything's all right on your end, in your recovery, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, hope you guys have a great week. Thank you.
All right, you too. That is Jim White. Covers the Titans. TennesseeTitans.com has been doing it for a long time. We'll come back. Willie will get in the mix. We'll come back and close out the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.